今天是星期天，我想，我以为今天的人会还有更多的人会来呢。
Who's here that wasn't here previously?
昨天没来的，就是前天课程没参加的，举手。
So, very quick review in that case.
那么呢，我们现在很快速的。
We're discussing.Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
我们昨天讨论了 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 关于 Harinam Chintamani 圣灵点睛时的讲述。
This is a conversation between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
这段对话呢是 Haridas Thakur 和 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 之间的。
This morning we're going to be discussing chapter 5.
今天早上我们来讲一讲第五章。
I thought to do a quick review.
我想现在来快速的回顾一下。
First, our explicit educational objective for this event is what?
那么呢，我们这一次十一期间的主要讨论的主题是什么？
Improving the quality of our chanting of the holy name every day.
那就是如何去提高我们每天的唱诵质量。
And we very quickly list the four ways to help us achieve that qualitative improvement of our chanting.
我们现在来快速的罗列一下，能够帮助我们达到提高每天的唱诵圣名质量的四个方法。
The first one.Is accept the gift.
第一个就是接受礼物。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended into this world as the most munificent appearance of all the forms of glory.
那么，就 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他显现在这个物质世界，他是最慷慨仁慈的，所有化身当中最慷慨仁慈的。
Why do we say that?
为什么我们这么说呢？
Because he came to give what no other incarnation has ever given before.
因为他所到，他到来给予的这个礼物是其他在此以前其他任何化身所没有给予的。
He gave the gift of Braja Prema.
他来给予的是 Braja Prema.
That's the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna.
这 Braja Prema 意味着是 Vrindavan 居民对 Krishna 所怀有的爱。
He came.Simply with this one request.
他到来的时候给出了一个请求。
With faith, please accept love of God.
请满怀信心地接受对神的爱。
And that access to that love of God is through the chanting of the holy name.
而这获得对神的爱的方法就是通过唱诵主的圣名。
So many things to say about the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
关于主持太监马哈帕普所给予的礼物这一话题是非常大长非常长篇的一个话题。
The second particular means of helping to improve our chanting every day.
那么第二个是帮助我们提高每天唱诵质量的方法是
？Who can say?
谁能够记住？谁说一下
？Anyone remember? Yes.
Established the relationship with the Holy Name.
Yeah. Because we learned from Haridas Thakur.
因为我们从 Haridas Thakur 那里学习的。
The Maha Mantra is not just a sound, but it's transcendental personality.
圣名不仅仅只是音阵，而是一位超然的人。
If we're to restore our eternal relationship with Krishna once again,
如果我们想再一次和 Krishna 恢复我们与 Krishna 之间的关系
it starts with our relationship with the Holy Name.
那么我们首先要建立起和圣名的关系
and those that give the gift of the Holy Name.
而并且要和那些给予我们礼物的那个人建立关系
such as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our founder Acharya.
例如，主持泰利马哈塔库、哈里达斯塔库、巴提诺塔库，还有我们的创办灵性导师。
Our whole Pacific succession and all the Vaishnavas.
我们始终传系当中的所有的 Vaishnava 们。
But the focus is establishing the relationship with the Holy Name.
但是焦点是放在要和圣名建立起关系。
Number three.
第三点是什么？
聆听过荣耀圣名。
To hearing of the glories of the Holy Name.
Very good.
非常好。
Part of this exercise for this event was encouraging you to take these sheets that we printed out of different glories of the Holy Name selected day by day.
那么其中的一部分就是我们在讲课当中的其中的一部分就是激励大家每天一段一段的去阅读发给大家的那个资料上的每一段关于圣名的荣耀。
So that each morning when you chant your japa, part of the meditation is hearing the glories of the Holy Name as you enter into the chanting of the Holy Name.
在每天清晨唱诵圣名之前，我们去冥想圣名的荣耀，这作为我们进入到圣名当中的一种方式。
My wish is that as many of you as possible can make this a daily practice.
我希望大家能够尽可能多的每天大家都能够去每天做这样的冥想聆听圣灵的荣耀。
If you do, it will help you improve the quality of your chanting every day.
如果你确实这么做的话，肯定会提高你每天唱诵圣灵的质量。
On the authority of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm sharing that instruction of his.
在 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的权威之下，我跟大家一起来分享。
We'll spend some time in the afternoon session on this.
今天下午我们下午的那节课的时候会跟大家一起来分享这一部分。
And the fourth item?
第四项是什么？
Who can say that?
谁能够回答？
Raise
your hand, someone else. Yes. To understand the understanding of Acharya's
Haridasa. This qualification for being a chanter and a giver, a receiver and a giver of the Holy Name.
那么呢，他有这样的资格去给予、去唱诵、去接受唱诵、给予圣名。
And by that meditation and appreciation, we're associating with him, and those qualities of his become, to some degree, qualities of us.
那么呢，我们通过冥想，通过去欣赏 Haridasa Thakur 所具有的这些美好的品质，那么当我们这样去冥想的时候，他所具有的这些优秀的品质，我们身上也会慢慢的培养出来，在某种程度上也会慢慢培养出来。
Please take note, I'm repeating this every class.
那么请大家记好笔记，我每一节课的时候都重复了这四点。
And there's a purpose of repeating every class.
而且呢，这也是我们在上课当中重复的目的所在。
Even if you get everything else that we discussed during this week, this holiday seminar, this one hopefully you'll remember.
那么即便在这个十一的课程结束之后，你什么都没有记住，但是至少记住这四点。
Because these are tools or principles that are embedded within the book itself, how to help us.
因为这个呢是能够帮助我们，是非常有效的，能够帮助我们提高念诵质量的方法和原则。
So now a little quick review of the first four chapters.
我现在再来快速的回顾一下前四章所讲的内容。
Very quick.
非常快。
First chapter was the glories of the Holy Name.
第一章讲的是圣名的荣耀。
Second chapter was accepting the Holy Name.
第二章讲的是接受圣名。
And the third chapter was considerations regarding the shadow of the Holy Name.
那么呢，第三章呢讲的是 Namabasa, 影子般的唱诵圣名。
We heard from Haridasa Thakur.
我们从 Haridasa Thakur 那里聆听到。
That the Holy Name and Krishna are not different.
我们聆听到 Krishna 和他的圣名毫无分别。
To think of the Holy Name and the person, Krishna, as separate is a big offense.
如果认为 Krishna 的圣名和 Krishna 本人是分开的，是分隔的，这是一个最大的冒犯。
And you will never advance in the process of chanting the holy name as long as that obstacle is there.
那么只要在我们的唱诵圣名的道路上有这样的一个障碍的话，就无法在唱诵圣名的这条道路上前进。
This directly addresses the relationship with the holy name, item that we spoke of before.
那么呢，实际上这也说明了刚才前面提到的要和圣名建立关系。
But when that holy name enters the sky of the heart,
当圣名进入到我们心房的天空，
it's shuddha sattva, it's completely pure.
那么圣名它完全是 shuddha sattva, 它是完全纯净的。
Well, we don't experience the fullness of that potency of the holy name if the heart is cluttered with clouds and mist.
如果我们的内心充满着雾霭和云尘的话，那我们就无法体验到 Krishna 的圣名它的全部的力量所在。
Haridas compared the mist to philosophical misconceptions or not having the proper understanding, being in ignorance.
那么呢，Haridas 把这个愚昧无知比喻为雾霭，那么是在哲学上给我们这样的一个清晰的概念。
And the medicine or the counteraction for ignorance was knowledge.
那么去消除这种愚昧无知的药方就是要培养知识。
It's the duty of the spiritual master to give sambandha again knowledge of the relationship ofall things with Krishna, including ourselves.
那么灵性导师的职责呢，就是把 Sambandha Gyan 关于我们和 Krishna 在内的所有的知识，关系的知识给予他人。
The clouds that clutter the heart were compared to anarthas, unwanted things within the heart.
覆盖我们内心的云层被比覆盖我们内心的这个云层，它就是 anartha， 是我们心中不洁的欲望。
Haridas Thakur explained that those clouds of three different types.
Haridas Thakur 讨论到这种云层有三类。
Just like geologists when they describe the cloud configuration, some are cumulus and some are stratus and some are nimbus and they have all these.You probably have different terms here in China.
Yeah,
different terms for different types of clouds.
就是关于这个天文学上，对不同的云层有不同的术语去进行描述，有的是散云，有的是龙云等等。
So Haridas simply explains the unwanted things in the heart are of three different general categories.
所以呢 ，Haridas Thakur 他把我们内心不该有的这些欲望 anartha。分成了三类。
The first one was asat Krishna, thirst for the impermanent.
那么呢，第一个就是 asat Krishna, 就是渴望不永恒的事物，渴望短暂的事物。
And the second was hridaya dorbalya, miserly weakness of heart.
第二类就是 dorbalya.
Hridaya
Durbhaya 就是吝啬鬼般的心内心的脆弱。
These two, again, the spiritual master's association can give us the strength to do what we know we should do.
那么呢，我们通过和父亲者的这种联谊，我们就能够获得这种力量，知道自己应该做什么。
Just like Haridas, when he's speaking, he's praying for the strength to overcome.These offenses against the holy name.
那么呢，就像是 Haridas 他祈求能够获得讲述对圣名冒犯的这样的一个体质的力量。
We're not alone.
我们不是独自一人。
Krishna is ready to help us.
Krishna 已准备帮助我们，时刻准备着帮助我们。
We just have to act in our relationship with Krishna, and in particularly starting with our relationship with the holy name, then it all becomes possible.
那么呢，我们只是去开始去祈求和 Krishna 建立起这种关系，并且呢，开始和圣名建立起关系，这样呢，我们就能够达成这一切。
And the third category of clouds was anarthas, using aparad.
那么呢，第三类，第三种这种云层呢，就是我们的冒犯。
offenses.
就是冒犯。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to hear in detail from Haridas about these offenses.
读 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 希望从 Haridas Thakur 那里、希望 Haridas Thakur 详细地描述这些冒犯。
Why?
为什么？
So that we can come to the stage of experiencing the holy name, dancing within the heart, with all fullness of that relationship with the holy name, with Krishna.
因为这样能够帮助我们在内心完全地体验到圣名的所有的完全的力量所在，并且能够、帮助我们建立起跟圣名的关系，跟 Krishna 的关系。
That's why we're doing this.
这就是为什么我们这么做。
Why Haridas is explaining.
所以呢 ，Haridas Thakur 他解释了这些。
So the next chapter 4 was the first of the 10 offenses. We discussed this yesterday.
昨天我们讨论了第四章，里面讲到的是第一项冒犯。
And it's identified as sadhu ninda or blasphemy of great saintly persons.
这第一项冒犯就是 sadhu ninda。去亵渎伟大的圣人。
And it's sometimes described as the mad elephant offense.
有的时候把这一项冒犯比喻为疯狂大象的冒犯。
Offending devotees of the Lord is so serious that your whole spiritual life can just be ruined and go down the drain.
那么呢，如果去冒犯 Krishna 的奉献者，就会导致我们的灵修就会糟蹋，就会被、就会直线下降。
If you remember on the first day,
如果大家还记得第一天我们讲的内容，
there were some sheets that were passed out.
第一天我们也发了一个材料。
And those sheets that were passed out had the description from Chaitanya Charitamrita on these 10 offenses.
那么呢，这张资料上呢就罗列了从 Chaitanya Charitamrita 当中摘取的罗列的对圣名的冒犯。
So,He's going to read the Chinese translation of that first. Do you have a copy? There's the Sanskrit. Satam ninda nama parama aparada vittanute. So, you see that I put in kind of orange colored letters.This is this nama, namna, parama, aparad. Parama aparad is the greatest offense. Parama means the greatest.
那么 paramam aparad 的意思是最大的冒犯 Paramam 的意思是大，特大。
Living entities, for example, living entities are called purusha.
那么例如生物体被称为 purusha。
And Krishna is Parama Purusha.
Krishna is Param Purusha.
He is the Supreme Purusha.
Krishna is 至尊的 Purusha.
And as far as the aparads or offenses concerned, this one is Parama Aparad.
那么呢，关于这个对圣人的冒犯，这一冒犯被视为是最大的冒犯 ，Parama Aparad.
It's the worst offense at the lotus feet of the Holy Name.
这是在圣名莲花足下最大、最糟糕的冒犯。
Blaspheming.Great saintly persons.
去亵渎圣人。
So she's going to read the translation.
现在我给大家读一下译文。唱诵 Hare Krishna. 亵渎传播 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 荣耀的伟大圣人。是在圣名的莲花足下做的最严重的冒犯。一个人不该批评传播 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 荣耀的传教士，如果这么做就是冒犯者。Nama Prabhu 跟 Krishna 是一样的，绝不会容忍这样亵渎的行为。即便做出这种亵渎的行为的人。是被看成是伟大的奉献者做的。
In the translation given by Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那么在译文当中呢，Srila Prabhupada 在Chaitanya Charitamrita 的译文当中写道。
Krishna in the form of his name is addressed as Nama Prabhu.
Krishna 以他的圣名的形式，以圣名以 Krishna 以他圣名的形式的显示了 Krishna 被称为 Nama Prabhu.
Great Vaishnavas commonly they don't take offense even if people do offensive things.
那么呢，那些伟大的圣人们呢，他们通常情况下是不会在意那些做出冒犯的人所做出的冒犯。
Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes about this offense.
Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur 描述了这一冒犯，这样写的。
Supposing you offend a great devotee.
假如你冒犯了一位伟大的奉献者。
The offender might think.
那么呢，这个冒犯者可能会这样想。
Well, this is a great devotee.
啊，这是一位伟大的奉献者。
They probably don't take much offense anyway.
啊。怎么样？不管怎么样吧，他不会那么在意别人所做出的冒犯。
So I'll just carry on.
所以呢，我就继续这样下去吧。
Vishwanath says, "No, Nama Prabhu. The devotee may be forgiving, but Nama Prabhu is not forgiving."
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 说到了，这位伟大的奉献者他会原谅别人的冒犯。但是呢 Nama Prabhu 可不会原谅。
That offender may go on chanting, but Nama Prabhu goes away.
那么这个冒犯者呢可能还会继续唱诵，但是 Nama Prabhu 已经走开了。
And that chanter will eventually stop chanting and fall down.
而这位唱诵念诵者呢最终他会停止唱诵堕落下去。
So what to do if you make some offense to a Vaishnava?
如果我们冒犯了一位 Vaishnava 应该怎么办呢？
Our scriptures teach,
我们的经典是这样教导的。
You go directly to that person,
你直接的去到那个你所冒犯的人的面前。
And you request that person's forgiveness.
而且非常真心的请求他原谅自己。
Sometimes I find devotees do this casually.
那有的时候呢，我发现奉献者是非常漫不经心的这么去做。
Oh dear Prabhu, I just stepped on your face. Please forgive me.
哦、oh, ，亲爱的 Prabhu， 我在你脸上踏了一脚，请你帮助我吧。哦、oh, ，请你原谅我吧。
They really, you don't get a sense that they feel regret. They're just officially doing a little rubber stamp on the offense they made.
那么他们所做出的这种就是请求的这个原谅，就像是在纸上盖个章一样，并没有改。
Sometimes you ask them, could you tell me what it is that you're asking forgiveness for, and they can't say. Yes. Sometimes you may ask that person, sure, I'd be glad to forgive you, but could you just concisely say what it is that you did that you're asking forgiveness for?
那么有的时候呢你去请求就是你所冒犯的那个人，然后那个冒犯的那个人就像您就是说的，你能够简单的向我解释一下你做了什么事。
You'd be surprised what people say.
你那么一听了以后你会感觉到非常的惊讶。
They really don't have a clue of the offense that they've made.
他甚至都不知道你做了什么冒犯。
No, Vaishnavas are meant to be forgiving.
所以呢 Vaishnava 他们内心是总是原谅别人的。
But it's also helpful if you're a kind, compassionate Vaishnava.
那么呢当然了，如果你是一个非常仁慈仁爱的充满怜悯之情的这样的 Vaishnava 是对于我们是有帮助的。
In a gentle and respectful manner to help the person understand what was the offense that they made, becauseIf you don't clarify the offense, they're likely to do it again and again and again.
那么呢，而且我们应该是非常柔和的，而且是坦诚的，去向跟别人说他所做出的冒犯。要这样呢，就能够对对方是有帮助的。要不然的话，对方他不知道，他就会一而再、再而三的这样做下去。
If not in relationship with you, with someone else, and the same difficulty will come to them.
要不然的话，如果这样，当然就是也是取于他与之间的这种关系。否则的话，要不然的话，他以后还会再遇到这种困难。
So much depends upon the relationship with that other person, if you even address do you really know what you did wrong? You have to be careful in your relationships with others.
那么呢，所以我们也应该非常小心自己跟他人的这种关系，这也是取决于自己和他人之间的关系。有的时候对方说到了，你真的是做出了这样的冒犯，我们就得小心我们跟他之间的这种关系。
Okay, now we're ready for chapter 5.
现在我们来进入到第五章。
This is the second offense against the chanting of the holy name.
这是对唱诵圣名第二项冒犯。
You read the translation to consider the names of the demigods.
认为主希瓦或主 Brahma 等半神人的名字等同于或不依靠主 Vishnu 的圣名。
Now, again, we're going to go to the Padma Purana verses where this is discussed.
那么呢，我们现在再来回到 Padma Purana 里面的一个诗节上。
And that sheet that you had a moment ago. Offense number two. There's the Sanskrit from Padma Purana that this is taken from.
那么呢，这是来自 Padma Purana 往事书当中的一段梵文。
You see, Shivasya, Sri Vishnor, Ya.Iha guna namadi sakalam dia vina. So that's the operative phrase there. This is the reference. Where one sees vina means separate.
Vina 的意思是分隔。
Vina prakritir ashtada. You know the verse from Bhagavad Gita?
你们都知道这是取自《博迦梵歌》的一个诗节吗？
Bhumir.Apo nalo vayu kam mano bhutir evasha ahankara Vina prakritir ashtada. It's a verse from Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 where Krishna is saying that he has 8 vina or separated energies.
那么呢，在《博迦梵歌》第七章里面的一个世界当中， Krishna 说了他有游离于他的一种能量，这种能量是由八种元素组成。
So the offense is seeing the demigods have powers, vina, or separate or independent.
那么呢，这样第二个冒犯就是认为半神人的名字是独立于Krishna 的圣名。
And there's a second part to this.
那么第二个部分是这个世界的第二个部分是。
That Krishna and his name are separate.
认为 Krishna 和 Krishna 的圣名是分隔的。
Okay, so now you please read slowly.
在这个物质世界里 ，Vishnu 的圣名是最为吉祥的。Vishnu 的名字、形体、品质和逍遥时光，全是超然的绝对知识。因此，人若试图把绝对的人格守神与他的圣名、形体、品质和逍遥时光分开，认为后者全是物质的，便是在做冒犯。同样，认为主希瓦等半神人的名字，一如主 Vishnu 的圣名，或者换言之，认为主希瓦和其他半神人是神的其他形体，等同于主 Vishnu， 也是一种亵渎，就是在主圣名的莲花足下的第二项冒犯。
So at the bottom you see the reference. You can look it up in your Chaitanya Charitamrita that you have in your home.
那么呢，在这个荧幕下面的最下面的一行写到了这段话是来自 Chaitanya Charitamrita Adidila 第八章二十四十节，大家回家可以阅读一下。
In this chapter, we're going to hear both of these two categories.
那么呢，在这一章呢，我们都会谈到这两类。
First category,
第一类是
seeing Krishna and the name of Krishna as separate.
那么就是把 Krishna 和 Krishna 的圣名分割开来，这是一类。
The second is seeing the demigods as having powers and existence independent from and separate from Vishnu, equal to Vishnu.
那么第二点呢，第二类就是认为像主希瓦、巴玛等这样的半神人，他们具有独立于主 Vishnu 的这种力量，或者是不依靠主 Vishnu。
You see this Sanskrit at the top, Svatantra, meaning fully independent.
Svatantra 的意思是完全依靠。
It comes from, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's term, Svatantra Aparad.
啊，这是来自于 Svatantra Aparad。刚才说的是完全独立的意思。
Seeing the demigods as fully independent from Vishnu.
认为半神人们完全独立于主 Vishnu.
That's an offense.
这是一种冒犯。
So the chapter begins.With the standard verse glorifying the Panchatattva.
这一章的一开始就呈现了对 Panchatattva 的这样的一段标准的祷文。
And then Haridas begins to speak.
接下来 Haridas Thakur 继续说。
Please hear the second offense.
请聆听第二项冒犯。
He's addressing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the master of the worlds.
在这里他称呼主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是宇宙之主。
But there's a nice painting of Lord Vishnu.
这是主 Vishnu 非常美丽的一张图片。
Haridas begins speaking the truths about Vishnu.
Haridas 开始讲述关于 Vishnu 的真理。
Lord Vishnu is the supreme non-dual truth.
主 Vishnu 是非二元性的至尊真理。
What does it mean non-dual truth?
非二元性的至尊真理是什么意思？
This is the world of duality.
我们这个物质世界是二元性的。
You know, yin and yang.
大家知道。
Opposites. The world of opposites.
啊，那么相反。
And the spiritual world is non-dual.
那么呢，那么我们都知道有阴阳，有两极。
And Krishna is of that non-dual nature.
而 Krishna 是非二元性的至尊真理。
And this word.Truth has a special meaning in Sanskrit.
那么呢，关于这个物质世界的这个真正的本质有一个梵文词。
In common language, truth means something that's not a lie.
那么关于这个真理呢，我们通常把它描述为是不撒谎的。
But the Sanskrit term truth has a different meaning.
但是呢，在梵文词当中，关于这个真理这个词有不同的含义。
It means truth in the Sanskrit term means that from which other things come or upon which they rest.
那么呢，在梵文词当中，真理这个意思是万事万物的根源，或者是所依靠的。
When we say that Krishna is the absolute truth,
当我们说 Krishna 是绝对真理的时候
，It means all other truths or existence have their basis in Him.
那也就意味着所有其他的一切所有其他的这些真理都是以至尊真理为基础。
Krishna is the basis or support or existential reality upon which other realities have their basis.
那么呢 Krishna 至尊绝对真理它是所有存在的一切的支撑和基础。
I'm explaining this becauseIn a moment, we're going to hear about Govinda.
那么待会儿我们会看到 Govinda 这个词。
Or Krishna, and he is the topmost truth.
而 Krishna 或 Govinda, 他是至高的、最高的真理。
The form of Lord Vishnu is fully spiritual.
主 Vishnu 的形体是完全灵性的。
There's no material elements that comprise the body of Vishnu.
主 Vishnu 的身体没有一样是由物质组成。
We can't say the same about the demigods, by the way.
所以呢，我们无法说，他与那个半神人相提并论。
That's the purpose of Haridas speaking these words.
这就是 Haridas Thakur 说到这个词的含义。
And he's always situated in pure goodness.
他总是处在纯粹善良属性之中。
Beyond the imperfections of material nature.
它完全超然于物质自然的影响。
We can't say that about the demigods.
所以呢，我们无法说半神人也是这样。
They're not situated in pure goodness.
半身人不是完全不是处在纯粹的善良属性当中。
They're influenced by the modes of nature.
他们受到物质自然属性的影响。
And they have temporary bodies.
而且他们的躯体也是短暂易逝的。
And those temporary bodies expire, and they give up those bodies, but it's not true for Vishnu.
但是，所以呢，他们最后最终还要放弃他们所所以他们的躯体。
So, graphics are good. Lord Krishna, who enjoys pastimes in Goloka, is the best of all truths.
主 Krishna 在 Goloka 享受着逍遥时光的欢乐，他是最佳的真理。
Again, this term truth meaning that which is the basis and support of other existences.
我们再强调一下，这里的真理是说的是它是所有万事万物的支撑与基础。
Vishnu and Krishna are in the same category, but Krishna in Goloka is the best of truths.
那么 Krishna, Vishnu, 他们属于同一范畴，但是主 Krishna 是最佳的，在 Goloka 的主 Krishna 是最佳的。
He's the reservoir of all rasas.
他是一切 rasa 的根源、泉源。
That's stated in the Vedas.
这也是国家，这也是《伟达经》所阐明的。
Raso vai saha. He is rasa. He's the source of all rasa.
Raso
vai saha.
Rasa vai saha. 它是所有 rasa 的源泉。
He is decorated with 64 auspicious qualities.
它装饰有64项吉祥的品质。
Now, this becomes important because others are not.
这一点是非常重要。重要的。
Others are not decorated with 64 qualities.
Others.
Others.
Vishnu,
其
他的都不是。
The demigods, living entities.
但是呢，其他的就是 Vishnu 还有那些泛身人们，还有这些生物体们，并不是如此。
Let's hear some more about these 64 qualities.
我们现在来详细的讲一讲这64项吉祥的品质。
Here's a nice painting of Narayana in Vaikuntha.
这是 Narayana 在 Vaikuntha 的美丽的图片。
By his side is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune.
他身边坐着的是幸运女神 Lakshmi.
And 60 of these 64 qualities are within Narayana.
那么在这64项品质当中的60项，在 Narayana 具有其中的60项品质。
And as well in the Vishnu form, 60 qualities.
那么呢，同样的 ，Vishnu 也是具有其中的60项品质。
And the avatars of Vishnu are also with 60 qualities.
而 Vishnu 的 avatar， 它的那些各种各样的化身，也拥有这些60项品质。
What are the avatars？
那么那些 avatar 是谁呢？
Nrsingadev, Matsyakorma, Vamana, these are avatars.
那么呢，Nrsingadev, Matsya, Vamana 等等，这都是化身。
This is a footnote in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing of this book.
那么这是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在他的 Vilasa Vigraha 这本书当中的一个注脚。
So, it's a technical term, Vilasa Vigraha. Maybe it's a little confusing. What does that mean?
这是一个梵文术语 Vilasa Vigraha. 可能大家会不知道这个词是什么意思。
The meaning is simple.
这个含义很简单。
They're the same category, but the features are slightly different.
那么呢，他们是属于同一范畴，但是呢，这个特征有略有不同。
And these are expansions. Narayana and Vishnu are expansions of Krishna and Goloka.
而且他们是Narayana, Vishnu, Krishna 在 Goloka 的扩展。
There's some details about the Vishnu forms.
关于 Vishnu 的形体，这里有一个详细的陈述。
And he's just describing Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu.
这里讲述的是 Karanadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu 和 Shiradakshay Vishnu.
Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu is said to be in charge of the Samashti, or the total material energy.
那么呢，Garbhadakshay Vishnu 他完全掌控着物质世界的所有的这些能量，物质能量。
Then he says all of these are in the Vishnu Tattva category, They all have 60 qualities. However, the Shaktivesha avatars are jivas.
那么呢，他巴提诺塔库在这里说到，所有的这些形体，他们同属于 Vishnu Tattva 范畴，都具有又是四项品质，而被冠以力量的化身，例如 Parashurama 这样的 Sakya Visha Avatar， 他们都是个体灵魂基本。
Since we're in China, I'll just make mention that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Buddha is a jiva, a Shaktivesh avatar.
因为这是在中国，所以我现在给大家来特别的指出 ，Buddha 他是被冠以力量、被赋予力量的个体灵魂 jiva。
佛祖，
佛，也就是佛祖。
There is somewhat lively discussion. Is Lord Buddha, does he have his own planet in Vaikuntha? You've heard that discussion, right?
那么呢，大家可能以前听说过这样的一个非常的热烈的一个讨论，就是讨论佛陀、佛祖是不是在灵性星球，在灵性世界有自己的星球，关于这个题目的讨论。
Some of our acharyas say,
有一些 acharya 灵性导师们这样说的。
The Adi Buddha, the original Buddha, has his own Vaikuntha planet, and he's Vishnu Tattva.
那么呢 ，Adi Buddha 也就是原始的Buddha， 他在 Vishnu 的 Vaikuntha 星球有
自己的。他属于 Vishnu Tattva。
他也是属于 Vishnu Tattva。
在 Vaikuntha 星球有。
在 Vaikuntha 星球上有他自己的星球。
原始的佛祖。
这是指的是 Adi Buddha， 是指的原始的佛祖。
Other acharyas speak like this.
那么其他的灵性导师 acharya 这样说的。
It's okay that our acharyas some say this and some say that. We don't get bewildered, right?
那么呢，有些 acharya 这么说，有一些 acharya 那样说，我们也不会被迷惑。
Because they're making statements that are from authoritative references in scripture.
因为他们所说的都是取自于权威的经典。
And we're very happy that they're very happy to represent the scripture.
所以呢，我们很高兴，他们也很高兴能够听到这一陈述。
Then Haridas speaks about the jivas.
接下来 Haridas Thakur 就讲到了个体灵魂 jiva.
The jivas are of two types.
Jiva 有两类。
The Sanskrit term is vipina angsa. Remember the word vina, right?
大家还记得 vina 这个词吧？有一类是 vipina angsa， 个体灵魂是属于这一类灵魂。
What does the word vina mean?
Vina 是什么意思
？Vina means separate, right?
Vina 的意思是分隔、分离。
And vipina means very separate.
那 vipina 的意思是非常的分开。
And the living entities are vipina angsa. They're tiny fragmental parts of Krishna.
那么呢 ，vipina angsa， 我个体灵魂呢是至尊主的渺小的微不足道的部分。
This explanation is directly related to the offense number two. So listen carefully.
所以呢，这一点呢，跟我们的第二项冒犯是紧紧息息相关的。
Most of the living entities are in this category of ordinary individuals like us, and they have 50 of the 64 qualities to a very tiny degree.
那么呢，像这个一般的个体灵魂，也就是像我们这样的普通的个体灵魂。他们非常微量的具有这其中的刚才说到六十四项品质当中的五十项，非常微量的具有这五十项。
Haridas says like a drop of a drop.
Haridas Thakur 在这里说到，就像是一滴水当中的一滴水。
We're pretty small.
非常小，非常渺小。
The qualities are also pretty small.
我们的躯体也是非常渺小。
Then there's another category.
还有另一类。
The demigods.
半神人们
They're also of this Vibhilamsha.
他们也是 Vibhilamsha.
But they have a greater degree of the 50 qualities.
但是呢，他们是大量的拥有这五十项品质。
And particularly Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva have another 5.
而且呢 ，Brahma 和一主 Shiva 他们还拥有另外的五项品质。
But even those other 5 are partial.
但是呢，即便是那些他拥有的那五项品质，也是部分的拥有那五项品质。
But please note, they have 55, and how many does Lord Vishnu have?
那么主 Vishnu 有多少项？ 60项。
Which is greater, 60 or 55?
那么呢，那个55项和60项，哪一项更多一些？
60 is greater.
当然是60项更多。
Lord Vishnu is supreme.
主 Vishnu 是至尊的。
The demigods are not equal to Lord Vishnu.
所以呢，但是人能够跟主 Vishnu 相提并论吗？
And even those 55, they get their power from Lord Vishnu.
即便是他们的拥有的这55项品质，也是由主 Vishnu 给予的。
So to say that demigods and Vishnu are equal is wrong.
所以呢，要把说半神人等同于主 Vishnu， 那肯定是错了。
In fact, it's an offense.
所以呢，实际上这是一种冒犯。
Lord Vishnu has 60 qualities in full.
那么主 Vishnu 他完全拥有这60项品质。
Look at those guys
down. 我们看一看这几个小伙子。
男人。Mental speculators.
这是心智推敲。
Have you met any mental speculators in your life?
你们在你们的生活当中遇到过这种心智推敲的人吗？
多了。
思辨的人。
多了。
Yeah, many.
Many.There's 5 of them.
这是其中罗列了其中的五种。
Very ignorant people think that demigods are equal to Vishnu.
十分愚蠢的人认为半神人等同于主 Vishnu.
They have a fundamental problem. They don't understand the supreme personality of Godhead.
他们从来没认为自己的这个错，没有意识到自己的错。他们认为半神人等同于主 Vishnu 是一个错误。
Here's the truth. Vishnu is supreme.
那么呢 ，Vishnu 是至尊的，这是一个事实。
He's the ultimate controller of the material world.
他是这个物质世界的终极的控制者。
And the demigods assist him in their controlling affairs.
那么呢，半神人呢是协助主 Vishnu 去控制的这一切。
Now please be very careful. I'm going to repeat Haridas Thakur's words as Mayavad philosophy.
那么呢，在这里请大家仔细的听好 ，Haridas Thakur 在这里会讲述 Mayavadi 他们所持有的理论，所持有的哲学。
Prepare yourselves.
所以呢，大家准备好。
Here comes some Mayavadi philosophy.
那么 Mayavadi 的哲学理念是这样子。
Some people say that when impersonal Brahman comes in contact with Maya's three modes, Brahman becomes the demigods.
有些 Mayavadi 他们是这样说到的。当非人格的 Brahman 一触碰到 Maya 的物质自然三属性，就变成全体半神人。
Very creative.
非常
的有创造性。
So Brahman has no qualities, right?
Brahman 他没有什么属性，是吧
？So their idea is nirguna Brahman.
所以呢，他们的这个想法是 nirguna brahmana
mixes with the three modes of material nature
那就是和物质自然三属性混合在一起
and then you get demigods
然后就变成了全体半神人
and there's three principal demigods
而且呢还有主要的半神人
Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and
主 Brahma, 主 Shiva 还有主 Vishnu
Who's Vishnu? He's Brahman covered by goodness
那么呢主 Shiva, 主 Vishnu 是谁他们在这里说是被善良属性覆盖的 Brahma
As Prabhupada would say Nonsense
啪啪说简直是一派胡言
That's offensive
这是一种冒犯
It's not true And it's offensive
这一点都不是事实这是一个冒犯
But they say these things
但是他们却这么说
So I hope you didn't get poisoned by hearing
我希望大家在听到 Mayavadi 的这些理论的时候，不要中毒了。
And then Haridas said there's another group of people.
那么 Haridas 他又说了，还有另一群人。
they say, yes, it's true. According to scripture, Vishnu is within everything and everyone.
那么呢，虽然他们说到了，是的，伟达经说到了，主 Vishnu 他在一切之中，他在万事万物之中。
So Vishnu is within the demigods.
那么呢 ，Vishnu 也在。半神人的体内呀。
And so if we worship the demigods, we're worshiping Vishnu.
所以呢，我们崇拜半神人就意味着我们崇拜 Vishnu.
Haridas said, this is offensive.
Haridas 说这也是一种冒犯。
And this type of activity, this is depicting demigod worship, it's forbidden according to Bhagavad Gita.
那么呢，根据国家梵歌的教导，对半神人的崇拜是被禁止的。
So we just deleted that guy.
Really?
Now, here's the real picture.
那么我们再看一看这一张图片。
The demigods, they're approaching Lord Vishnu.
半神人们，他们去到主 Vishnu 那里。
Haridas said, instead, by worshipping Vishnu, all other worship is accomplished.
那么呢 ，Haridas 他会在这里说到了，通过崇拜主 Vishnu， 所有其他的人都得以，所有其他的崇拜都得以达成。
Just like the Bhagavatam teaches, put water on the root of the tree, and all the water goes to all the parts of the tree.
就像圣严摩迦瓦坛里面教导的，给树根浇水，那么树的枝枝叶叶都得以滋养。
Find the root of all existence.
所以呢，那么我们这个树根是一切的支撑，是这个树的支撑。
And place your tendency for worship there.
所以呢，把我们的这个把我们的崇拜的意向是放在这个上面，根上。
What's the root of all existence?
那么呢，一切的根源是什么呢？一切存在的根源是什么
？That's this meaning of truth. The absolute truth is that from which everything comes.
那么呢，这就是绝对真理的含义所在。它一切都流演自它。
Vishnu or Krishna.
主 Vishnu 或 Krishna.
So there's the watering of the plant or tree.
那么呢，这个图面表示的是，正在给植物灌水，浇灌水。
Haridas says, yes, it's true. Vishnu is everywhere.
是的 ，Haridas 他库说到了，是的，主 Vishnu 无处不在。
What you say is correct.
那么呢，你怎么说呢？是对的吧
？Therefore, worship Vishnu because he's the source of the demigods and everything else that exists.
所以我们去崇拜主 Vishnu， 那么全。
And if you don't water the roots of a tree or plant, then the plant's going to die.
如果我们不去给这个植物的根浇水的话，那么植物就会干死。
And if you worship Vishnu, automatically the demigods are being worshipped. It's taken care of. It's fulfilled.
那么如果我们去崇拜 Vishnu 的话，所有其他的半神人他们都会被得以崇拜了。
And he concludes, this is true from ancient times.
而且呢，他在这里总结说，这是伟达经自古以来，这是伟达经的结论。
And foolish people that don't recognize that truth, they're headed for trouble.
所以呢，那些愚蠢的人，他并没有认识到这个真理，所以呢，他们遇到各种麻烦。
Like this, people that study the Vedas, they argue their position this way, that way.
那么呢，那些喜欢伟达，研习伟达经的人，他们会进行这样或那样的辩论。
Now Haridas is summarizing the conclusion of all the Vedas.
那么现在呢 ，Haridas 他概述了伟达经。
He not only likes to chant, he knows the teachings of the Vedas and can explain them.
他不仅唱诵圣名，而且他非常的暗熟经典，并且能够给出指导。
Narayana.Is the supreme object of worship.
Narayana 是崇拜的至尊的对象。
Following his command, Brahma and Shiva do their creation and destruction service.
在他的命令之下 ，Brahma 和 Shiva 创造和毁灭了物质宇宙。
And persons who neglect this principle continue in the cycle of birth and death.
那么那些忽视了主 Vishnu 的这一真理的人，他们会在生死轮回当中周而复始的轮回。
You've seen this illustration before, right?
在前面的章节当中，大家看见这个图片了吧？
It's illustrating a verse from Bhagavad Gita.
这是由《薄伽梵歌》里面的一个诗节，说明了《薄伽梵歌》里面的一个诗节。
The worship of various demigods is worship situated in material goodness.
那么呢，崇拜半神人的人，他们是处在善良属性当中。
Worship of a worldly person is in passion.
那么呢，崇拜这种伟大的这个世界上的那些了不起的人物，那些世俗的人物的人处在激情形态当中。
And worship of ghosts and spirits is worship in the mode of ignorance.
崇拜鬼魂和幽灵的人是处在愚昧属性之中。
But worship of Vishnu or Krishna is transcendental.
那么崇拜 Vishnu 或 Krishna 是处在超然的层面上。
We may be influenced by the modes of nature.
我们可能会受到物质占三属性的影响。
We should worship Vishnu to go beyond the modes of nature.
我们应该崇拜主 Vishnu， 能够超帮助我们超越物质占属性。
Maya bodies, Haridas says, they have this theory that said everything is equal.
那么呢 ，Mayavadi 有他们的理论。Mayavadi 的哲学是一切都一切皆一。
It's all one. Worship as you wish. It is all one. Yatamat tatopat. So many ways of worship as you wish.
那么呢，他就说到了，各种各样的崇拜都是一样的。
The boons that are given by the demigods come from Krishna or Vishnu.
半仙人们所赐予的祝福全都是来自主 Vishnu。
So just worship Vishnu.
所以呢，我们只是去崇拜主 Vishnu。
Even if you have material desire.
即便一个人有物质欲望。
The Bhagavatam teaches that also.
圣典波迦瓦坛也给出了这样的教导。
Who knows that verse from Bhagavatam?
谁知道圣典波迦瓦坛的这个诗节？
Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena。
即便一个人拥有物质欲望还是没有还是毫无物质欲望或者是追求解脱，一个人都应该去崇拜至尊的守神主 Vishnu。
So here's what Grihastha should do.
这是 Grihastha 这个图片告诉我们一个作为一个居士 Grihastha 应该怎么做。
There are some Grihasthas in our audience today.
那么呢，今天在座的有一些是Grihastha 居士。
Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a Grihastha.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 是一位居士。
And many of his writings, he explains how Grihastha should take the teachings and implement them or apply them in their life.
那么在他的许多的书籍当中，他就讲到了作为一个居士应该如何去接受这些教导，并且把这些教导运用到自己的生活当中。
Very practical.
是非常实际的给出了。
Not just an idea, and I don't know what to do with that idea. It's interesting, but how do I live according to that idea?
而不是说只是一种想法，不知道怎么样去在生活当中实际的去运用它。它不是一种，只是一种想法。
As a practicing Vaishnava Grihastha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructs specifically.
那么呢，作为一个身体力行去灵修的，Grihastha 居士 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 这样写的。
Worship Vishnu or worship Krishna unhesitatingly with everything that you do.
那么呢，一个居士，他是主 Vishnu 的奉献者的这样的一个居士，应该毫不犹豫的去崇拜主 Vishnu， 还有他所做应该在他所做的每一项事物当中去崇拜主 Vishnu。
In Vedic culture.
在伟达文化当中
，there are samskaras.
有 samskara.
Have you heard the term samskara?
大家听说过 samskara 这个词吗
？There are a number of them throughout the stages of life.
那么呢，关于人生的整个过程当中，有很多次这样的 samskara.
You must have something like that in Chinese culture.
可能在中国文化当中也有这样的类似的程序。
When you pass from this stage.To the next stage of life.
当你从人生的这个阶段进入到下一个阶段的时候
，something auspicious is performed.
那么呢，在这个阶段的时候，进入到下一个阶段的这个过程当中，会从事一些吉祥的活动。
I mean, three very universal ones is when a child is born.
那么呢，在全世界上通用的这样的一个原则就是，当孩子降临的时候，降生的时候。
It's a transition from in the womb of the mother to outside the womb of the mother.
那就是这是一个这是一个这是从母亲的子宫里面一直到出生出来到母亲的子宫外面这样的一个过程。
The umbilical cord is cut.
那么呢当这个脐带被剪断之后
instead of receiving nourishment from the body of the mother through that umbilical cord that's cut
那么呢当这个子宫当这个胎儿在母亲的肚腹里通过脐带来得到这种滋养的成分被这个脐带被剪断之后
There's some auspicious ceremony in Vedic culture for that transition stage.
那么呢，就在孩子降生的时候，在韦达文化当中，对这个孩子降临于世就有一个吉祥的仪式。
Then in Vedic culture, the child lives on the milk of the mother, and then at 6 months they take their first grain, nourishment from outside of the mother.
那么呢，当这个孩子他会在头六个月的时候。通过吸吮母汁来这样去生长那么当他到六个月大之后呢就会有一个进食无谷那一天开始他就会不再可以不吃母乳从外界获得营养
So there's a Vedic ceremony to make that transition auspicious
所以呢那么这就是这是韦达的这种一种吉祥的仪式
There's a number of them. When someone is not married and they become married, then there's a marriage ceremony and there's auspicious things done at that time, from transition from this to that.
那么呢，就是例如一个未婚的人，他然后结婚，但是他有这种结婚的婚礼这种仪式，那就是从这个人生的这个阶段转入到下一个阶段，这样的过程当中会举行这样的一个仪式。
Another very obvious one is death.
那么呢，还有一个仪式就是死亡。
In the body, leave the body, then there's an auspicious ceremony.
那么呢，在这个人离开这个躯体的时候，会举行这样的一个葬礼仪式。
So, Haridas is saying, these rituals, they should be observed according to Vaishnava manner, where they're all directed towards worship of Vishnu.
那么呢 ,Haridas Thakur 就说到了所有的这些从出生到一直到死亡进入到一直到死亡的这个过程当中所从事的这些活动的目的都应该是崇拜主 Vishnu
We have material bodies
我们有我们的物质躯体
And those things in relation to the body are to be dedicated to Vishnu
那么呢跟这个物质躯体相关的一切都应该供奉给献给主 Vishnu
I'm just going to summarize now this next very important section actually
实际上这一部分是非常重要的我现在概述一下
These rituals shouldn't be avoided, but they should be seen as service to Vishnu.
那么呢，这些仪式呢，我们不应该去避免，而是应该把它供奉给主 Vishnu.
So similarly, the worship of demigods and the worship of ancestor worship is not so uncommon here in China, right?
那么对半神的崇拜以及对祭祖祭祀祖先的这种崇拜不知道在中国是不是很司通惯很常见
清明
very common
yeah, very common
it's common in Chinatown in New York City
那么呢这个在美国的唐人街是非常常见的就是对祭祖
in New York Times there was a big article
那么呢在纽约的时报上有这样的一篇文章
Some New York Times reporter visited very successful Chinese restaurants in New York City.
那么呢，那个《纽约时报》的一个记者去采访了在唐人街里面，生意上取得巨大成功的一个成功人士。
And they went in the back room of the restaurant. The back room. In the restaurant, they have some room in the back.
那么呢，在这个餐厅呢，有一个后屋后厅。
And these restaurant owners have a little altar where they have figures of their ancestors.
那么呢，这个餐厅的主人呢，就在他的这个餐厅的后厅里面的，摆设了一个神坛，神坛上设的是他的祖先的这些牌位。
And before they serve the food in the restaurant, they take the cooking, place it on the altar, offer to their ancestors, and then the remnants go to the restaurant customers.
那么呢？在这个就是他们把这个做好的任何一道菜事先都拿到这个祭祖的神坛上牌位前供奉然后供奉完之后就把这个这个祖先吃下的这些食物吃剩的这些食物鲫鱼然后给客户吃
Very interesting.
很有意思。
And there were many popular restaurants.
而且在那里有很多受人青睐的这样的餐厅。
Somebody successful over here, the guy that wants to be successful over there, they finally do this, so they start doing it over there, and then it becomes, goes all over the city.
那么呢后来呢他们都一个一个的都照样都这么去做。那么那个餐厅的人他们也这么去做，然后那个餐厅的人也这么做，结果这个唐人街的所有的这些餐厅们他们都这么做。
What to do?
应该怎么办呢？
Set up an altar for Lord Vishnu.
那么呢我们应该给主 Vishnu 是一个神坛
Krishna,
或者是给 Krishna 是一个神坛。
Take those things that are offerable to Krishna and present them, offer them to Krishna, then take the Mahaprasad from Krishna to the ancestors.
然后我们把可以就是允许供奉的食物供奉给主 Vishnu 或者是 Krishna, 把供奉过的食物在 Mahaprasad 再派发给那些外面的人。
That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's what Haridas Thakur is saying we should do.
这就是 Haridas Thakur 告诉我们的，我们应该怎么做。
So if you have some relatives that want you to do some ancestor worship,
如果你家里有亲戚让你祭祖的话，
now you know what to do.
现在你就知道该怎么办。
You take Krishna Prasad,
你把 Krishna 吃剩的鲫鱼 Prasada,
And you offer to the ancestors.
然后把这样 Prasadam, Krishna Prasadam 供奉给祖先们。
And here's what happens.
那么这做法是这样子。
They receive the benefit of the offering of Krishna Prasad.
那么呢结果会是怎样呢那么这些祖先们他们会因为荣耀到 Krishna Prasadam 而从中
And their position in Pitraloka is now relieved and they can go on to the next situation.
那么呢他们在 Pitraloka 上的这种情形呢就会得以改善他们会去到其他的地方。
Even their departed souls.
即便他们是亡灵。
You can offer Krishna Prasad to them.
也可以给他们供奉 Krishna Prasad.
Isn't that nice?
难道不好吗？
And the demigods, same thing.
而且非半神灵也可以做同样的事。
Now, in China, demigod worship isn't a big thing.
那么呢在中国崇拜半神人是非常常见的。
But some parts of the world, it's a big thing.
那么在这个世界上这个崇拜半神人是一件大事。
So they can do the same. That's what Haridas is saying.
所以呢 Haridas Thakur 在这里说到了可以给半神人做同样的这样同样这么做。
Then he goes the other direction and says, if you follow what the Mayavadis do and say any worship is okay, then you're making an offense.
那么呢他回风一转又转移到了如果按照 Mayavadi 他们的这些哲学去这样去崇拜的话就是一个冒犯。
He says, your spiritual life is terminated, finished.
那么呢他在这里说到了那么你的灵修就得以毁灭就会停止。
Very serious offense. Don't make that mistake.
所以呢，不要做这样的错事儿，不要做这样的冒犯。
Now I'm looking at the clock, and it's 9:20.
我看了看表，现在9:20。
And I have to go quickly to finish.
我必须不得不快一点讲完。
Fasten your seatbelt. We're going to start to move.
大家把这个腰带系得紧紧
的。系紧点。
系紧点。
饿着
吗？饿着呢。
This is an illustration of the four varnas.
那么呢，这个图片呢，说明的是四 varna， 是社会阶层。
There's a on the left. There's a brahmana. There's a kshatriya. There's a vaishya. There's a shudra.
那么呢，第一个呢是 brahmana 婆罗门，第二个呢是 kshatriya 管理阶层的，第三个是 vaishya 做生意的，第四个是这个劳动阶层 shudra。
Maybe I have to finish class early.
好了，我们早点提前下课了。这个幻灯片摁不动。
开荣耀了。开荣耀。开荣耀。